podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt podcast. Good to have your company. We're going to go through the betting for the Premier League weekend. We're talking about five live televised games this week, kicking off with Fulham versus Manchester United at 12:30 on Saturday. And we'll have Derek McGovern and Simon Mullock, the chief football writer from the Sunday Mirror, with us to discuss those games. We've also got Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross on all the Football League matches coming up later on. And Alex Dunn will provide us with his best bet in Europe ahead of the weekend as well. Without further ado, let's talk football. Let's speak about these Premier League games this weekend. And it's a warm welcome to Simon Mullock from the Sunday Mirror. Good morning to you, Simon.
Morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm looking forward to getting stuck into these games. And Derek McGovern, as usual, joins us on the podcast as well. Greetings and salutations, Mr. McGovern.
I'm right back at you, Dave. I'm Simon. Relishing this Thursday, and want to pass on my thanks to Everton for doing such a sterling job against Manchester City last night.
I was at the game last night, and I've got to say, I thought Everton played well. It's just they're a team definitely in crisis at the moment, despite all the money that's been spent there. But I don't think Liverpool can really accuse them of lying down.
I think it gives Everton too much credit to suggest that they could actually affect the title race as well, because things are going appallingly for Marco Silva at the moment. I know there was an upturn in performance last night, Simon, but how many times are they going to get beaten at set beaters, Everton?
Well, you just knew what was coming. I mean, a couple of minutes, injury time, and you just had that feeling. You could feel a nervousness amongst the Goodison fans that this was the moment City were going to score. And sure enough, they'd had a warning earlier in the game when Laporte headed one wide from about 2 yards. They didn't heed the warning. Great delivery from David Silva, and Laporte was actually unmarked. I mean, it was a free header. That was the biggest surprise. There wasn't even a challenge put in, so clearly Marco Silva has got some work to do on the training ground.
Let's get stuck into this weekend then, chaps. We'll start with Fulham versus Manchester United at Craven Cottage. It's a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Fulham are 9-2 to win the game. The draw 16-5. Manchester United in the betting at 6-10. Enhanced odds, Alexander Mitrovic and Romelu Lukaku both to score was 100-30. That's 5-1. And if you think Paul Pogba is going to score the first goal in this game, that was 9-2. That's available now at 6-1. And Derek, Manchester United now within touching distance of the top four, which seemed like an impossibility before the appointment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They're still unbeaten under the Norwegian and only 2 points behind Chelsea now, and getting towards 1-2 to win this game at Fulham.
Solskjaer, he's making management look easy, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Fantastic job he's done. Odds on to get the job full time instead of what he's on now with that 0 hours contract he's on there. He's on there now. I think Mourinho had a zero goals contract, by the way, while he was there. He's done everything right, and I know that there's a few knockers like Paulins in particular saying he can't possibly get the job full time. He's inexperienced, untried, etc. But what more can he do? I'm trying to find a reason for backing Fulham in this game because they're playing Man United, and therefore I have to find one. But general lunacy apart, I can't. I thought they might have turned the corner with that 4-2 win over Brighton a couple of weeks ago. But to go to be at home to Palace then and not get a kick, basically, lost 2-0. They are as bad as their position implies. And I'll tell you, I'm looking at the handicap betting here. United -1 at 6-4. Looks a winner waiting to happen. Normally I can't find a winner, Dave, even when it's already happened, but this one looks absolutely nailed on to me. It's It's pretty much a gimme. And I would, to be honest, I wouldn't put anybody else at 6-10 for United to win outright. I can't logically find any way that they're not going to win this easily.
I think Fulham's problem is they concede too many goals, don't they? We've seen that. They've conceded at least two in their last six matches in all competitions now, Fulham, Simon. And Manchester United have a good record against Fulham, as you would expect. They're unbeaten in 10 Premier League games against Fulham, winning eight and drawing two of those. Do you think it's a clear-cut decision for Manchester United to go with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer if Mauricio Pochettino is available in the summer?
Well, I mean, United have been insistent that there is a process in place and that no manager will be named until that process has been completed in the summer. I think the key for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is he's got United to the cusp of the top four, and if he can get them in the top four, then that argument, you know, finishing the top four, that argument becomes even more compelling that he should get the job. Winning the FA Cup isn't going to get him the job, but I think finishing in the top four, then it becomes a shoo-in for him that they've got to go with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, given where he picked up United 10 games ago. Strangely enough, I remember the last time Fulham beat United at Craven Cottage, and they had Michael Carrick and Richie Delap playing as a centre-back pairing. So, you know, I don't think that is going to happen on Saturday, and I can see a comfortable United win. Even though, obviously, Solskjaer has also got to prepare for the Champions League game against Paris Saint-Germain in midweek.
Yeah, that could be a factor in this one. Alexander Mitrovic, by the way, 8 of his 10 Premier League goals this season have come at Craven Cottage, so maybe you're looking for Mitrovic to get on the score sheet. That's available at 6-5 for him to score any time in this match. It's unlikely that Fulham, Simon, are going to make a managerial change at this stage, but when you see new managers come into Premier League clubs, you often assume they're going to get that new manager bounce.
Yeah.
There's not been any sign of that under Claudio Ranieri.
Not at all. I mean, 12 points from a possible 39. You know, it's not that impressive given Ranieri's track record. The problem is they just concede too many goals. You know, if you keep conceding 2-3 goals a game, you've got to score that amount just to get a point. And I saw the chance that Mitrovic missed last week. When your top striker's missing those kinds of opportunities, then you really are up against it. Now, normally, Manchester United would be a free hit for Fulham, but it's getting to the point now, 7 points away from safety, where this is a game that they've got to pick something up from. And I think the fact that they've got to go into the match with a positive frame of mind could really play into United's hands on the counter-attack. They've been lethal on the break, United.
And most people, Derek, saying that, oh, you can't get rid of Claudio Ranieri at this stage. But why not in this situation? Because they're going to go down if they stick with Ranieri, aren't they?
Yeah, you could appoint, you know, dual managers Guardiola and Klopp, and they'll still go down now. I mean, they're unsavable. You know, remember me, and I caused a bit of controversy on this podcast a few years ago, Dave, when Leicester won the league. And it was my argument then that Leicester won the league despite Claudio Ranieri and not because of him. And everything that's happened since then has just underlined what I said then. You know, he's a lovely bloke, comes across, and everybody, you know, everybody loves him. But I was just about to say, well, what's he done apart from win the league with Leicester, which is incredible. I know you can never knock him for that, but I don't know. I've just got this feeling that he's not cut out for this, not ringed up for the Premier League.
I don't think there's ever been a week that's gone by without you causing a bit of controversy on this podcast, Derek, to be honest. Let's get stuck into Brighton versus Burnley, which is the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday, this one. Brighton 11-10 to win the game, the draw 11-5, with Burnley in the market at 14-5. Glenn Murray kept Brighton's FA Cup hopes alive with an injury time double in Wednesday night's replay with West Brom. But will having to go 120 minutes in that game on Wednesday affect the outcome of this game? I suppose that's the question as far as Brighton are concerned. And there's definitely, Simon, been an upturn in Burnley's performance in the Premier League. They're still drawing too many games, but they're now unbeaten in six. And they were unfortunate not to grab all 3 points at Old Trafford 10 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've won four and drawn two of the last six Premier League games. They're still only 2 points above the relegation zone, so they're not out of the mire yet. But Brighton, you know, they need points, and I think that was perhaps the reason that Chris Hughton made 10 changes to his team for the cup replay at West Brom. I mean, Brighton aren't going to go down, but, you know, they would like a decent mid-table finish. I'd like to see them attack the FA Cup, to be honest. You know, like I say, the pressure of a relegation fight is off. Why not give it a go in the FA Cup and make some history? But, yeah, don't think Brighton have won a game in the Premier League since the turn of the year. So, you know, they need to get back to winning ways, really. So, it could be a tough game for both teams.
That's when they beat Everton back at the end of December, and Derek, we know that one doesn't count either. So they've only won one of their last 10 Premier League games now, Brighton, and they're short here at 11-10. I was doing the notes for this fixture, Derek, and I couldn't imagine a more uninspiring fixture than Brighton versus Burnley Saturday night football.
Exactly, exactly. I hope Dancing on Ice is still on, because that's where I'll be. My viewing will be. I mean, it's hard to back any team, either team, with confidence, but the alternative is a lot worse, watching the match without having a bet on it. It's just a stinker, isn't it? Brighton at 11-10 is the worst price for them since whatever I paid for my car. It's a joke, given that record and the fact that they went, you know, extra time in the FA Cup on Wednesday. I'll tell you, if that's significant, just as soon as the full-time whistle goes in this match. It was 0-0 last season. I don't think there'll be even that many goals this time. There have been many better bets, Dave, than 13-8 for under 1.5 goals in this game. Just not while I've been alive. I think it's absolute certain. It's got 0-0 written all over it.
I think it has. 6-1 0-0. There's actually just been one goal scored in the three previous Premier League meetings between Brighton and Burnley. Brighton have failed to score in those three matches as well. Two have ended 0-0. 6-1, the 0-0 draw in the game.
Actually, Dave, you say 6-1 0-0 draw, right? It is, and I know sometimes you get these discrepancies. If you go to total match goals on the Hills website and look and back none, it's 7-1.
Ah.
So if you are that way, and, you know, if you do fancy that, go for the sevens instead of the sixes.
Always finding little loopholes, aren't you, Derek, to exploit
indeed.
The bookmaker. I like it.
The poor, hard-pressed bookmaker.
We're going to Italy for the Euronap this week, and we're looking at Juventus, unsurprisingly. But the market I'm going for will surprise a few, because I like Juve, and I like Juve to win to nil more often than not, but their 3-3 draw against Parma last time was a little out of keeping. Sassuolo, on the other hand, well, at home they score, they concede a lot as well. Their two defeats at home this season have been 4-1 and 6-2. And I think we could see a hatful of goals here as well. The last time they met, Juve were at home, they won 2-1. Cristiano Ronaldo was on the score sheet twice and he could figure again. But I'm going for Juve to win and 4 or more goals in the match. I think there'll be plenty. It's 13-5.
Spurs versus Leicester is a Sunday 1:30 kickoff at Wembley. Spurs are 4-6 to win the game. The draw 11-4. Leicester in the betting at 9-2. The enhancements, Tottenham to win both halves was 3-1. That's been boosted to 7-2. Heung-min Son and Jamie Vardy both to score in the match. That was 5-1. That's been given a 2-point boost out to 7-1. And don't forget, all these Premier League matches, hashtag your odds as well. So if you want your bet on the William Hill website and it's not already priced up, do tweet using that hashtag your odds to at William Hill. Simon, do you see Spurs as genuine title challengers? The 5 points behind Liverpool and Man City going into the weekend, they still have to go to Anfield and the Etihad. So even if they're not title challengers, they could influence whether the title goes to Liverpool or Manchester this season.
No, with all due respect to Spurs, who are having another great season under Pochettino, I just think both City and Liverpool have got too much to allow Spurs to sort of come on the outside and win the title. For a start, they've lost too many games also to be considered sort of genuine title challenges. They've done really well, to be fair, to cater for the loss of Harry Kane and Dele Alli through injury, you know, and Son. I can understand why he's such short odds to score, because he's got two winners in Tottenham's last two games. I can see Spurs beating Leicester at Wembley. I think it was a 4-3 thriller the last time they played there at the end of last season. But Leicester will be a difficult proposition for them. They were superb at Anfield a couple of weeks back in that 1-1 draw. and you know, could quite argue that they deserved a point against Man United. But I think Spurs will have too much for them this time. I just don't see Tottenham being there right at the end of the season in terms of winning the title.
They have won at Goodison. They've beaten Manchester City and they've won at Stamford Bridge in the league this season, Leicester. So this will be a difficult game for Spurs, who have left it late to win their Premier League matches recently. They've won the last three Premier League games thanks to goals scored in the final 10 minutes. Odds on at 4-6 Spurs to win this match, Derek. And what did you make to Mauricio Pochettino's comments about he's been criticised for suggesting that trophies just build egos and it's the most important thing for Spurs to finish in the top four? What do you make to those criticisms?
Well, yeah, I think if you're Spurs, yeah, you are. It's just a hard fact of life now. I mean, if Liverpool, I think Liverpool won the FA Cup in, 2006, was it? And about 3 days later, I'd forgotten all about it. It's just nothing now, is it? These trinkets, it's all about finishing in the top four and playing in the Champions League. Sad though it is, because the FA Cup when we were kids was everything, and now it's pretty much nothing. So yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. This match troubles me, because if you look at this game and you see Spurs 4-6 at home to beat Leicester, and then the match, just one we're going to talk about in a minute, the Man City at home. Man City are a short price, 1-2 to beat Chelsea. Doesn't really make much sense, that. You'd think, well, Spurs have got to be a better bet, 4-6 at home to Leicester. But I don't, it's still something that worries me, because Leicester are capable. I never catch them right. I've backed them an awful lot this season because I know what they're capable of. And every time I back them, they throw in stinkers. And then when I don't back them, they beat the likes of Man City and Chelsea. They won at Everton as well, drew at Liverpool, gave United a scare last week. They've actually won more away than at home. I've just got a feeling this they've cost me a lot of money, Leicester, this season, like most teams have. I'm going to give them another go here. I've just got a sneaking feeling about this game. Now, I know another punter's going to say, oh, I'm going to back that because McGovern says he's got a sneaking feeling. 9-2. There's just something about that price. I think Leicester have got to squeak it. In fact, you know what I might do? I'm going to play safe here. I'm going to play Leicester with a goal start at 23-20. So you're getting Leicester on the draw there.
If we talk about this any longer, Derek, you'll be going for Spurs.
I didn't make a very compelling case there, did I?
Leicester +1 at 23-20 is Derek's bet for that game. Let's talk about the game at the Etihad then. Manchester City versus Chelsea. 4 o'clock kickoff for this one on Sunday. Manchester City, as Derek mentioned, 1-2 to win the game. The draw 100-30 with Chelsea in the market at 11-2. And City are back top going into the weekend after their win against Everton midweek. That appeared to be pretty routine, that 2-0 win. And that came on the back of their 3-1 win against Arsenal. Derek, what's going on with Chelsea? Because they've invested in Maurizio Sarri, clearly, and they've got to stick with him. But that loss against Bournemouth a couple of weeks back was pretty embarrassing. I just wonder if they've got another Antonio Conte or Jose Mourinho situation here, with a manager criticising his players in public, and that maybe affecting performance on the pitch.
Well, it seems that way, doesn't it? It seems to be going to be hard for Sarri to get the players back on side, because they're clearly not playing for him. I mean, when you see a team like Chelsea getting beat 4-0 by Bournemouth, that's not a run-of-the-mill defeat. That's a defeat. Red lights are flashing and you're thinking something is seriously wrong there. Remember that time when Arsenal went to Man United, I think it was, lost 8-2, you know, and then people were making excuses for Wenger after that, you know, for about 7 years after that. But right there and then, that was the time they should have got shut. There's something seriously wrong at Chelsea. Now, that doesn't mean they can't go to City and do a job. Because remember earlier in the season, in fact, not that long ago, was it December they played or November, when Chelsea weren't given a prayer against City because they were playing badly, City were playing well, and they won 2-0.
Yeah.
It was in December. They were playing without a striker that day. City hammered them in the first half, I remember. They walked all over them. But as soon as they went a goal down, Manchester City, they collapsed, and Chelsea had it all their own way in the second half. Chelsea are capable. I've said this many times. I look at that team, the teams they put out. I was thinking, if they had, I mentioned on this podcast a couple of weeks, if they had Harry Kane in their side, they'd be fighting for the title. That's what they needed. Now, they've got this Argentine fella now, Higuain, who's got a great reputation abroad, and he hasn't done too much wrong so far. Maybe he is the key. Maybe we'll see a different Chelsea. What it all boils down to is the fact that they're a big price here to win at City, because I'm not convinced by City. I'm still not. They'll probably win the league now. I mean, they were given 3 points. Did you see the team sheet Everton put out on Wednesday night at Goodison? You name their three best players, Richarlison, Sigurdsson, and Seamus Coleman, all left out. It was a surrender. I think the bookies paid out on a City win as soon as they saw the Everton team sheet, and I think the first in the queue was Marco Silva at the payout desk. So that was a disastrous team sheet he named. I'm not convinced by City. I'm not convinced by Liverpool either, by the way. As I said last week, the title won't be won this season, I don't think. 9-2 Chelsea are too big to beat a City side that are not playing anywhere near their best.
Okay, Derek, going with Chelsea to win the game. Actually, 11-2 Chelsea, so slightly bigger than that price of 9-2. So could be a good bet Chelsea this weekend, according to Derek. I'm intrigued how Gonzalo Higuain is going to perform in the long term, Simon, because he had such a good record under Maurizio Sarri in Italy. And if he can produce that level of performance with Chelsea, they could easily still finish in the top four.
I think the problem Chelsea have got for this game is that by the time it kicks off, they could be out of the top four. And that'll crank an extra little bit of pressure on them to try and go out and win the game. I think their best chance of actually beating City is to go there and attack them rather than try and sit back and maybe frustrate them. Higuain scored twice last week on his debut against Huddersfield. His understanding with Hazard looked to be instant, and it also seemed to free Hazard up as well. He looked back to his best. And like I say, I think their best chance of getting something from the Etihad, rather than sit back and frustrate them like they did at Stamford Bridge in December, will be to try and attack City. I agree with Derek. I don't think City are anywhere near the best at the moment. Certainly don't look sort of obvious title winners. But they're finding a way to win games, as we saw at Goodison Park. And they're getting De Bruyne back to, slowly but surely, back to his best. Same with David Silva. Gabriel Jesus was on the score sheet last night. I think that the one problem that they've got is they've got an horrendous run of games coming up in terms of numbers of games and not being able to rest. But this is a huge game for them. And obviously the two teams are meeting the Carabao Cup final in a couple of weeks. So it could be a marker for that game as well. I think this is a really difficult game to call, to be honest. And I agree with Derek, it could go either way.
I suppose the narrative in the last couple of weeks has been that Liverpool are feeling the pressure of chasing a title. But I noticed how snappy Pep Guardiola was in that post-match press conference after the 3-1 win against Arsenal. He was asked a couple of routine questions and he was quite dismissive. Do you think Pep Guardiola's feeling the pressure as well?
I did. Last night, though, I did speak briefly to Pep, bit of a name drop there, as he was leaving Goodison Park, and he seemed in a much better mood. I think the fact that they've reeled Liverpool in has eased the pressure a little bit. I think that 1-1 draw that Liverpool had at West Ham was a big boost for City, because you know it was only a few weeks ago Liverpool were grinding out results. Liverpool weren't playing particularly well, but they were winning. They had that kind of stamp of champions where you don't play too well, but you win games. I mean, I wouldn't say Liverpool have had a blip. They've only drawn two successive games. Yeah. It's hardly a disaster, but it's such a tight title race this season that I think we're going to have so many twists and turns between now and May. I can see it being a really great, exciting title race.
Absolutely. So what are you going for in this one, Simon?
I'm just going with City to edge it.
Yeah.
I think because they need it slightly more than Chelsea. But like I say, I agree with Derek. I can see Chelsea going there, producing a performance and getting a result. That's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Let's finish with Wolves versus Newcastle, which is an 8 p.m. kickoff on Monday night. Wolves 4-6 to win the game. The draw 27-10. Newcastle in the betting at 9-2. Raul Jimenez, who's had a terrific season, for him to score first, that was 7-2. That's been enhanced to 9-2. And another enhancement that looks maybe promising here, Wolves to win both halves. That was 19-5. That's been boosted to 9-2. Wolves are in great form at the moment. Following that loss against Manchester City, they've won 4 of 5. And the draw against Shrewsbury in the FA Cup didn't prove fatal either. And some of their performances, Simon, have been outstanding, including the win at Goodison last weekend. They're looking to win 4 consecutive top-flight games for the first time since January 1972 this Monday. I've been so impressed with Wolves this season.
They've been fantastic, arguably outside the top two, three, four teams. The team of the season, they're nicely placed in seventh. They've got a great draw in the fifth round of the FA Cup, Bristol City, so they can go further in that. I think Wolves' one problem is they've not got a centre-forward who scores heavy goals, and they struggle a little bit against teams that sit back. That's why they've got such an impressive record against the top six. You can be sure that Rafa Benitez will have Newcastle organised and really difficult to break down. So I think this could be a tougher test for Wolves than the Premier League table would suggest. Mm. Newcastle, obviously, boosted by that great win against Man City a couple of weeks ago, they were really unlucky not to get a point against Tottenham last week. They're in 15th place now, Newcastle, but they're still only 2 points above the relegation zone, so they can't take anything for granted. Obviously, they've got their new £20 million record signing, Miguel Almiron, available. And I'll be interested to see how he adapts to the Premier League. 21 goals in 62 MLS games isn't that prolific, I'd argue, for a man who blew 25 on Sunday. But he comes with a really good reputation, and obviously he helped Atlanta win the MLS Cup. So, Rafa's got the striker he wants. Will he be a bit more expansive? I don't think so. I think he's going to just kind of go to Newcastle and grind out another point and take another small step towards safety.
27-10 it is for the draw in the game, and it's been a good 6 weeks or so for Rafa Benitez fanboys, hasn't it, Derek?
What are you getting at there? He's done great, Rafa. Of course he has, with the shower of players he's got there. He's done exceptionally well. Yeah, you know, Wolves have had a great season. But what Simon says there about them playing better against the better teams is true, because you look at the teams they've lost. They've lost to Huddersfield, Watford and Palace at home. You know, so Newcastle are capable of going there and getting a result. I can't bring myself to back Wolves at 4-6 in a Premier League match. It's just too short. And Newcastle seems to have the reputation about they travel about as well as Dennis Bergkamp, but they've only lost 5 matches away from home in the Premier League this season. That's as many as Arsenal. They don't win that many, but, you know, of 12 away, I think they've played. They've won 2 and drawn 5. It's not a bad record, that, a bad away record for the team that's supposed to be fighting against relegation. So what I'm saying is that I can't back Newcastle to win at 9-2, because I don't see them going there all guns blazing. They'll do what Rafa does best, keep it tight, not concede. And Wolves just struggle to break down teams like that. We've seen it before. So why would you back him at 4-6? You just wouldn't. You couldn't. Newcastle with a goal start at 21-20. I love that.
Very good. Newcastle plus one at 21-20. Now, as is always the case, we will finish off with the best bets this weekend to form a treble for you. Simon, given you're our FWA guest, let's start with your best bet this weekend.
What, my best treble?
No, you're just your best single bet, your one single bet, your standout selection.
I think I'm going to go with Derek. I think the a goalless draw... sorry to be a little bit negative, but a Brighton-Burnley goalless draw, I think that's absolutely nailed on.
I like that. That's available at 7-1 in that game. That's using your little trick, isn't there, Derek, as well, 7-1?
7-1, yeah. No goals in the game, yeah. That's fair enough.
Very good.
I'm going to go for West Ham, 11-4, to win at Palace. Even when they were going through that terrible run, when they were getting battered by Wimbledon and whoever it was, Wolves, you knew there was a lot more to come from West Ham. They were going through a bad blip, and they showed it against Liverpool. They should have won on Monday night. And in my eyes, anybody can go to Palace and win, apart from Palace. I think West Ham at 11-4 is just too big.
West Ham 11-4, and I'm going to finish the treble. I do think Huddersfield might spring a surprise against Arsenal this weekend. That's available at 9-2. But I like Manchester United to win and both teams to score. I think they are still... I know they won 1-0 against Leicester, but they still looked... They give Leicester opportunities. I think Manchester United will hit Fulham on the counter-attack. So 15-8, Manchester United to win and both teams to score. That treble 75-1. So under half a goal, Brighton versus Burnley. West Ham at 11-4 and Manchester United at 15-8 with both teams scoring in that match. 75-1, the treble. Simon, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
And we're going to finish this podcast with a look at the Football League, starting off with the best bet in the Championship with Pete Farris. Whoa!
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and my nap this week is again an over 2.5 shout, and again in the QPR game. It landed for me last week away against Wigan, and this time they host Birmingham in a game that yet again should have goals. You look through QPR's last five home games, the 5-goal thriller against Hull, the 2-1 win over Borough, the 3-0 destruction of Ipswich, and yes, there's a 0-0 against Reading in there, but there's also a 4-1 game against Preston. For Birmingham, away from home, goals are plenty of late too. 4 in a 2-all draw against Blackburn, 3 away at Wigan. A 1-all draw against Sheffield Wednesday is the one blip, but a 3-1 loss to Norwich and a 3-all draw with Swansea means goals in this game should not be 11-10. And that's the price. 11-10, a fantastic bit of value for over 2.5 goals in the QPR Birmingham game. Whatever you're backing, very best of luck. Let's head over to Gav Puchalowski and get his thoughts on League One.
My nap in League One this weekend is a side who 2 months ago I would not have touched with a barge pole because they were in the midst of a 6-game losing streak and their manager was just hanging on to his job. But Stuart McCall has turned it around at Scunthorpe United with 5 wins in the last 7 games and only dropping points against Sunderland and Barnsley, two of the best sides in League One. And it's Scunthorpe at home to Accrington Stanley, and Scunthorpe are 6-4. Which is very nice indeed, because Accrington Stanley, their season has gone a little bit pear-shaped. Started well, but started to fade away. And away from home, not many goals at all. Accrington Stanley have only scored 3 in the last 5 games away from home, and all 3 came in a victory at Plymouth. So they failed to score in 4 of the last 5 games on their travels. Plenty of goals for Scunthorpe, so I'm backing them to win as my nap at 6-4 at home to Accrington Stanley. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Time for the old cup is a distraction from the league argument. There is no way that Newport should have lost as heavily as they did last week at Grimsby. My guess is they had one eye on the midweek cup tie with Middlesbrough. They won that tie, they've got Man City in the next round, and the cup continues to distract them. That Borough win was only their 4th in 15 matches. 3 of those 4 wins have been in the FA Cup, and their record after they've played in the cup in the last 4 games is drawn 1, lost 3. And they're not a team in any form anyway. 27 of their 40 points so far this season came from their opening 13 games. They've only got 5 points from the last 9. In short, they were never going to be backable. So who's coming to town? It's Mansfield, second in the league, 13 points from a possible 15, 4 wins in 5, 8 wins in 12. New boy George Grant has 4 goals in his last 3, and yes, he is a defender. On form alone, without the cup angle, Mansfield should be odds on anyway, but they're 21-20.
That's it for the podcast then, folks. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and special thanks goes to Simon Mullock, the chief football writer from the Sunday Mirror, our guest from the FWA, for providing insight ahead of the 5 live games in the Premier League this weekend. Thanks to Derek McGovern and Pete Farries, Gav Puchalowski and Al Ross. And to you for tuning in to the podcast. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website at williamhill.com and on the app as well. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League or any of the Football League action this weekend, the very best of luck.